Well, thank you for joining me again here online. This is the message for New Life Ministries Church for August the 4th. And it's the second part of a message, but I'll sure review enough from last week to get you all on the same page. We've been talking about why bad things happen to good people. And I said for a prerequisite to this teaching, you have to know there is not one set answer to that question. It's different for every situation that comes up. But before we can even start talking about that, I have to say this. There is so much innuendo. There is so much false pretense. There is so much misunderstanding around the whole statement, why does God let bad things happen to good people, that it's just a setup for people to be deceived and misunderstand God, for hurting people to be hurting even worse. I mean, if something bad happens to you or a loved one and you don't know why God let it happen, you're wounded. You could be mad over that. You could have thrown God in the trash can over something like that. But if you don't understand how God is and what's going on, you're going to be wounded. It's going to make a mess of things. So hopefully we can help you with that today. And the way we're going to try to help you is give you some understanding from the Word of God. You know, if we take a look at God's history book, that's the Bible, you're going to see how he is about good people and good and bad things and what's going on, and we believe that'll help you with it. Anyway, we're going to start Genesis 1, and I believe it's verse 28. It says, this is after God created Adam and Eve, and it says, then God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. All right? So here's God giving us, he said it to Adam and Eve, which is saying it to us, he gives them dominion over everything on the earth, and he tells them to subdue the earth. You know what subdue means? That means use the authority that I've given you, and if anything goes wrong on this planet, you fix it. You heal it, you prevent it from happening, you fix whatever goes wrong on planet Earth. He put them in charge and gave them the responsibility to manage the planet. And that's been passed right on down to you and me. And let's take a look at, in the church, we study us one psalm each week. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been on Psalm 89 and 90. And both of those psalms have a very clear message in them. And it's really with respect to what we're talking about today. Let's take a look at Psalm 89. This is God summing up the covenant and the agreement and the relationship he has with his people. My mercy I will keep for him forever. My covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. He's talking about David in particularly, but it talks about his descendants. It talks about you, and it talks about me. If his sons, this is God saying, I'll take care of you forever. If his sons forsake my laws and do not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. All who pass by the way will plunder him and say he is a reproach to his neighbors. So here's God putting us in charge on planet Earth and promising us that he'll take care of us and he'll keep us secure, keep us safe, establish us on the earth. But he said, if you violate my commandments, I'm going to punish you for that. And he says, it's going to look so bad, your neighbors will be going by and plundering and robbing and making fun of you. Your neighbors will say, where's God? Why isn't he helping this person who's supposedly one of his children? And here's what I want to say, and I said it once, I'm going to say it again. This is not one answer to every time what appears to be bad is happening to somebody who appears to be good. But we have God saying we are in charge on planet Earth. And he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. If you do what's right, you'll be blessed. If you disobey, it's going to not go well. And we got to establish that's God's relationship with us. All right. Now, let's go on. We're going to, well, still in Genesis, God, this is after Adam and Eve. Remember, God tells them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then they go ahead and eat from that tree. This is God speaking to them after that. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded him, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. That day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So actually, that's before they sinned. This is on the other side of it, okay? What I want you to see, God has put us in charge. God has made us responsible for anything going on planet Earth. And then he gave us one commandment and he said, well, I should say gave us one warning. There's a tree over there. The day you eat of it, you're going to die. Now, I always like to remind people, they lived another 900 years after they ate from that tree. What occurred was spiritual and soul realm death. The ability to know God intimately and hang out with him every single day and understand him. And that all got fouled up when that's what died. All right. But listen carefully. This is on the other side of the sin. To Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the bread of your field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. Dust to dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So God tells them that now that you've sinned, it's going to be bad, sickness, death. You will eventually die. You're going to work. It's going to be hard. All right. Now, here's the question we're dealing with today. Why did a good, loving God not stop Adam and Eve from disobeying him? He could have stopped them. He was right there. He could have stopped them. Why did he not? Please get this. He wanted us to have free will. He wanted that so much that if we would choose to do something that he told us would be deadly or bad for us, he would stand by and allow us to disobey him, even if it brought sickness and death, because he put us in charge, he made us responsible, and he said, if you're going to walk off a cliff, I'm going to allow you to do that. That's his basic relationship with us. All right. It's so important for God to have free will. He wanted us to be his children, but he wanted us to choose him. He wasn't going to force us to obey him. He gave us authority in the earth to use our free will to subdue the earth. And he's absolutely clear on a reward and consequence system that he set up. If you violate this commandment, it's going to go horribly for you. If you obey, I will bless and be able to protect you and provide for you. It's going to be very good. And then he allows us to make our choices, right or wrong, good or bad, helpful or hurtful, and he stands by and lets us do that. Now, I'm going to keep saying this. Are there situations where you think you're doing everything right and you think you're being good and still something horrible happens? Yes, it often appears that way, but if we will seek God for an answer and pursue him until we hear, we may find out that that's not exactly as cut and dried as it appears to be. All right, what we're going to talk about more today is what is God's definition of what is a good person or what are good people? Now, we always have two standards. We have the world's standards and we have God's standards. God's standard is the Bible. End of story. The world's standards, well, they really have no guidelines. You heard the term situational ethics. That means given the situation that I'm in, that's what determines right or wrong. All right. And the situation ethics are based on culture, based on tradition, based on what people like and what they don't like. And I tell you what, it gets a lot uglier than that. A lot of situational ethics, they're based on what somebody wants to do to control you or to take your money or to scam you or deceive you. And so they set up a system that makes it easy for them to take advantage of you. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with Bible. That's why Bible opponents will say, well, you know, the Bible is very cultural. You know, a couple thousand years ago, they didn't know what we know today. If they knew what we know, they wouldn't have made those rules. Nobody can live by them. Well, if you believe that, you're going to be so confused and wondering about God and life and everything else. Where on the other hand, when the standard is the Bible and it's God's word, and he says, if you do this, it'll go well. If you disobey that, it won't go well. You got to have God's standards. And if you want to understand why bad things happen to good people and why it appears that God isn't doing anything about it, we got to go by the standard, which is the word of God. That's what we're going to take a look at today. We're going to look at, you know, the book of Proverbs. You know, let me say it this way. The Bible is loaded with rules. It's a book of rules from one end to the other. And it's how to please God. It's how to treat your neighbor. It's how to have a good and happy family. It's how to be successful. It's how to make money so you can have enough to afford both the things you love and enjoy and have fun with, but also have enough to do what is important on this earth, what people need you to be able to do, what you need to do to be happy. It's all in the whole Bible, but the book of Proverbs is very cut and dried. We're going to look at a couple of examples of it today, and then we'll go from there. Remember, we're defining by God's word what is a good person. Proverbs 2:10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. That's a good setup for everything we're going to look at today. Wisdom and knowledge entering your soul. So, well, we're going to skip on down to verse 20. So that you may walk in the way of goodness. First point, what's a good person? Somebody, according to God. Somebody who's looking to God's word to find wisdom and knowledge so that they can be a good person, so they can walk in the way of goodness. And keep to the paths of righteousness. That's so you can stick to obeying God's word. For the upright will dwell in the land, the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Now, if your soul is already going, I can't do all that stuff, I'm gonna show you what will make this easy for you. I'm show you what will set you free, and you'll say, I can certainly do that. It's all going to boil down to, what's the one thing out of the entire Bible God is saying you need to do? And you can figure that out. And I'll help you figure that out. Because when you figure out that one thing, it's for today. It's something you can do because God sends you grace to help you do it. And when you get that one thing figured out, you're going to be fulfilling all of God's requirements for being a good person, for walking the path of righteousness. So anyway, that's the kind of stuff we're looking at. He says the blameless will remain in the blessings of God. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth. The unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice there is waste. That's a quick reference to if justice is not being done, if the right things are not being done, then food that's in the ground ready to be harvested will never get grown, will never get harvested. It's when there is a lack of justice. Nobody's doing things God's way. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. And you know what? I got a whole list of stuff here. But again, we're looking for one thing. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. He who is careless of his ways will die. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. You know, God loves it when we bless other people. God loves it when we use the extra money we have to be a blessing to somebody else. And it says, when you do that, you're lending to the Lord and he will pay you back. You know, one of the ways to have more money is give some away. Be a blessing and a help to other people. That's God's word. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Stay connected to God. God can help you. Whoever loves instructions loves knowledge. I love this one. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. He who hates correction is stupid. Well, thank you, God, for looking for such a nice way to put that. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. Now, here's the note we're going to end on. And don't worry, I know that was a long list of what God says you need to do and what you need to be a good person. And I want you to see, let's do this. Let me let the word do the talking. I think I've already referenced it at one point. If you know the story of the rich young ruler, a man came to Jesus and he said, well, we're going to, you know what, let's do this. Let's read the whole thing here. Yeah, let me tell you this. It ends with, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor and you'll have the treasure. And you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Now that sounds like a stiff thing. It sounds like, oh Lord, how can I do that? Hang on. In 2 minutes, you're going to see what you can do. It'll be the one thing. And it won't necessarily be this one thing. But I'm going to help you find your one thing. Here we go. Let's take a look at this. Behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Calling Jesus good, saying, what good thing shall I do? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Oh, imagine that. You want to be a good person? You want to have eternal life? Keep the commandments. Nothing new there. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So here's Jesus going down the list of the Ten Commandments, and he's entering into what he said was the most important commandment, loving your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Now, if you want an example of what the Bible says a good person should be, this guy was it. He kept all the commandments. He was trying to be good and kind to other people. He was trying to be a good person, and he was keeping all of the law. And he said, I've been doing that since my whole life. And here's Jesus' answer. And please hang in there. Your answer is coming. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Now, this guy, we've already established, good person doing all the right stuff. But there was one thing that he needed to do. He was too much into his money. That may not be your problem. Probably isn't. We ain't rich. It probably isn't your problem. This guy was too much into his money. And though he was trying to be good and trying to keep the commandments, he was too sidetracked with his money. Jesus said, go sell everything you have. And here's the key for you. Come and follow me. Jesus addressed the one thing in this person's life that was preventing him from having an intimate, communicating, healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to say this to every person who's listening to me today. I want to say this to everybody I talk to. There's probably one thing in your life that's keeping you from following God. You know, 50 years ago, I was doing the hippie thing, taking drugs every day, stoned out of my mind most of the time, and I didn't think there was anything wrong with it, and I didn't think I was a bad person. I went to church every now and again. I prayed the Our Father regularly. I didn't think I was that bad, but I was a drug addict, and that one thing was keeping me from an intimate relationship with God. And I almost died before I heard God say, quit doing that and come and follow me. I heard that. That was 50 years ago. I never went back. I've been serving the Lord, and I've been having a good life ever since. Now, here's the word for you concerning being a good person. Ask the Lord, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? Lord, you know I try to keep the commandments. You know I try to be good. I try to be a good person. I try to be honest. I try to help people. Okay, keep doing that. That's the big stuff. God said, love your neighbor as yourself. God said, keep the commandments. That's the good stuff. But you have to be able to ask God, what is the one thing that might be in the way? No, sorry, I said that wrong. Lord, what is the one thing that is hindering me from an intimate, communicating, healthy relationship with you? And you stay with the Lord. You pray that prayer until you get an answer from God. And if you haven't ever gotten much answers from God, you need to fix that. Do what you need to do to improve your ability to hear from God. And when you hear him tell you the one thing that's hindering you from an intimate relationship with him, you'll fix that and you'll come to a whole level, another level in your relationship with him. You'll have power from the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to do God's will. You'll be able to do good works like you've never done before. Now, does being a good person mean that you're perfect and you never, ever make a mistake? It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is you have a good, healthy, communicating relationship with Jesus Christ. If you make a mistake, you ask him to forgive you. You ask him how to help you never do that again. And you go on with your walk with God. And when you're in an intimate, communicating relationship with God, bad things should not happen to you. You're under God's protection. Now, one other thing, please get this. The Bible says the devil stalks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But it says we don't have to be afraid of the devil because we are in a relationship with God, and he will always warn us. He will always help us. He will always give us instruction to stay safe. So the fix for what a, well, let me end on this note right here. We say, why do bad things happen to good people? Quite often, we're not as good as we really need to be to receive God's protection. You say, yeah, but he could fix it if he wants to. Let's go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and you'll find out if you make bad choices, even if you're making them ignorantly, he's going to let you walk off the cliff. You can fix that by improving your relationship with him. Now, what do you do when somebody says, I'm very wounded because I don't understand why God let this bad thing happen to me or to my loved one? We may not be able to come up with the answer for that. We don't know what happened. Maybe it was this, maybe it was that. If you can't figure it out, please don't get mad at God. Please don't walk away from God. Don't ever encourage somebody to walk away from God because they can't figure out why that thing happened. I say if you'll hang in there with God, you'll figure out why it happened. And let me say this in case you still have this question. What about natural disasters, earthquakes, floods, diseases and all? What about this stuff? Here's where you got to be careful. Some of that stuff is God sending judgment, not all of it. But here's a story for you. You know, when Jesus was in the boat going across the Sea of Galilee, he was asleep. Of course, now these fishermen are trying to manage their way across the sea there, and this horrible, deadly storm comes up. The apostles are afraid they're going to die. They wake Jesus up. And you know, he's in the back of the boat sleeping, and they wake him up. I can just hear Jesus. How long have you been with me? Did you think you were going to die? Did you think I was going to die in a boating accident? You know, you could have taken care of this. And he calmed the storm. And he chewed them out for not being able to take care of that themselves. Do you know that there are many natural disasters that God is sitting in heaven wondering why his people aren't praying to stop the storm? Why his people aren't praying to stop the fires? Why his people aren't praying to stop the hurricanes, whatever it might be? Now, you say, what am I supposed to, are you kidding me or what? Here's the deal. The Christian culture for about the last 1500 years, we have not been trained and we have not been training people to have enough of a relationship with God to know how to get these warnings and to be sensitive to the help God tries to send when horrible things are about to happen. And so quite often we miss the warnings. And you can't point the finger at one. Why didn't the guy in charge hear the warning? You can't point the finger like that when you have an entire Christian culture that isn't catching the warnings because we weren't trained to. Then God's got to do something big to fix all of this. And do you know God is constantly trying to do something big to fix all of this? So if we don't give up on him because we don't understand why it looks like he's not helping, don't give up on him. Hang in there with him. He's got the answer that'll bring life and bring hope. We better stop right here and pray. And let's get to it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, if they made it to the end of this message, I know your spirit is working in their life. The reality of it is you always want to help. You always have the fix for whatever's wrong or whatever's going wrong. You love us and you gave us everything we need to be protected from the enemy. Lord, you want to teach us how to stay in your protection, in your provision, and in your blessing. So I pray that by this word, some doors have been opened. But Lord, I do my best. I'm as human as any of us. I'm asking for an outpouring of your grace and your spirit, an anointing of your peace to help people stay calm and keep their hearts open so they can hear you speak. Lord, if some horrible thing happened to them or a loved one, Lord, get their heart open so they can understand why and how and what the fix for it is. Lord, help people to stay connected to you so they can receive everything that you have for them and the love and the grace and the mercy that you have for them. Father, I just pray your blessing be upon my brothers and sisters. I pray that by your spirit you'll finish this teaching. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for being with me here online. If you have any questions, you can find my number right on the church webpage. Be glad to talk with you. And God bless you. We'll see you soon.